Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
This is the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network, KeystoneSportsNetwork.com, the Keystone Sports app. Got you covered from all angles on Penn State football. Dustin Hockensmith here with Greg Pickle, and Ross Tucker is joining us a little earlier in the week than you expect, Ross Tucker. But the earlier the better when it comes to Ross.
I'm excited. I haven't seen Greg in forever. I read like everything he writes. And Dustin, I got a chance to see you last week, which was cool. So it's nice to change it up. You know, we used to all be together for these sessions. So it's nice to get with the Monday, Wednesday crowd.
Bringing the family back together. Our stepdaddy Ross is here with us. We're going to kick things off with Ross's position rankings. This is something I'm always interested in anyway, but to hear Ross's perspective on where Penn State goes weakest to strongest. So we got 12 position groups. We did recruiting rankings for about a month or so on the other show with Bob and Andy. Now we're going to do the position groups over the course of the next 2 weeks here. So Ross will be on this show, I believe, next week too.
Yes.
After that, it's all about Ross again. Blue-white game, your keys and priorities. We touched on this a little bit earlier in the week. Just things you want to see, guys you want to see, what's going to stand out, what you're watching. That segment brought to you by GoPSURV.com. Ask Ross is our fourth and final segment. That one brought to you, as always, by the 409 Tailgate Club and 409 Tailgate Club Wine. We will tell you more about that a little later in the show. So let's talk about position groups here. So I don't know if you want to have a preface to these rankings or not. I think they kind of speak for themselves.
Well, usually when I do the recruit rankings, I say, hey, these guys are all full ride guys at Penn State. You know, they're all freak shows, blah, blah, blah. Not really for this. If the position ranking is a problem, it's a problem.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean,
if it's an issue, it's an issue. And there's no way to sugarcoat it at this point. Other than to say, as we'll get into, you know, there are always some young guys that emerge and prove themselves to be very worthy. But we got to go by what we see now, especially in front of the blue-white game. And by the way, let's not overrate the blue-white game either, right?
Sure.
I mean, one of you guys, I don't want to do your work for you, but one of you guys should write a column this week about all of the guys that have been blue-white stars over the years that never did anything again after that. Wasn't Jonathan Holland like the star of the game last year?
Yep.
It's like, oh, we don't need it. It's okay if Gesicki gets hurt. We got John Holland. Meanwhile, did he play a snap last year?
Has not been heard from again, including this spring.
So don't overrate blue-white performance is what I'll tell you.
Aaron Monroe was another guy last year. We talked about him earlier.
What about the kid that like transferred the next week?
Cole Cipriani.
Yeah. No. The DB from Cleveland.
Oh, TJ Johnson. Yeah, he did.
He was great. He was legitimately awesome in the blue white game.
He was. Yeah.
I remember thinking like, why don't they talk about this guy? This guy's good. Where is he now?
I don't know. I couldn't even wager a guess.
It's unbelievable. Some of these guys, like once they leave Penn State, they might as well just fall off the face of the earth. As far as we're concerned, it's sad, but it's true.
It is true. But It's a good point, fair point. There's a lot of grains of salt that goes into it. Some of it is meaningful. Like Juwan Johnson had a nice game in blue-white. But that you can always tell a little bit different. There's legitimate spring buzz and there's illegitimate spring buzz.
I think Cincinnati,
there you go. KJ Hamler, legitimate spring buzz. So if he goes out and has a blue-white game, a big blue-white game, I'll take that. So let's start. Well, blue-white's a little bit later. Let's start with the position groups. And it's interesting you brought up John Holland's name because we're starting at tight ends, number 12, which means, according to Ross, this is a position group that has, let's just say, the most questions about it.
Exactly. Is basically ranked on the number of questions we have. That doesn't mean, look, I don't know, Danny Dalton might end up being a star, but for right now, it's a big question mark.
We have no idea, and it's an interesting time to do it because as much exposure as spring practice gets, there's a lot of stuff we just don't know and we won't know coming out of the spring, things that Penn State knows that we don't know. Tight end is definitely high on that list. John Holland, good blue-white game. They talked him up a little bit last spring. We haven't seen a lot from him really since then. Nick Bowers, some struggles with some injuries. Danny Dalton, you know, this is he might very well go down in history as an example where tight end is kind of like offensive line where you're not going to do much until your third season at Penn State. Maybe Danny Dalton is that guy. We just don't know.
So what I think is interesting is, and we talked about this with Bob Flounders late last week on the show, and Greg, I want you to confirm this, but when he's been at practice, Howland and Bowers aren't even practicing, right?
Not that we've seen, no.
Okay, so then that's some type of physical ailment that we don't find out about.
So the weird thing, Ross, was that John Holland, they did wind sprints at the end of last Wednesday's practice because James Franklin wasn't happy with the way the team practiced. And he was out there doing wind sprints, but he didn't wear pads, and he wasn't doing anything, and he hasn't done anything. So I can't really figure out what's up with him. Bowers is sometimes in, sometimes out, not really doing a whole heck of a lot, though.
And he had a significant injury.
Yeah.
Well, they did wind sprints in part because of Danny Dalton at that practice.
That's right. Yeah,
I'm sure there was other stuff, and the tone of the practice was sloppy, but Danny Dalton was the guy who kind of was the poster child of that sloppy.
Unfortunately, you're absolutely right about that.
So what's interesting to me about the tight end position is – We've heard and seen positives. Nick Bowers, true freshman, they talked about him a lot. You know how they liked him in practice and they were excited about him. He was up to 260 and can dunk and all this kind of stuff. Then after he got hurt last year, it was Holland. Now they're talking up Dalton. It almost feels like they keep going down the line of the guys that they're talking about. So it would be that's got to be the position with the biggest question marks. There's not a single ounce of known commodity at the tight end position right now, which, by the way, has been a big part of the offense the last few years.
It's Keystone Kickoff Show. We're talking some Penn State football. Ross Tucker's position group rankings for Penn State. We're on number 12 currently. We're going to work our way down through half of them. We're going to get through number 7 on this week's show. We'll continue it next week. You can always check these out at KeystonesportsNetwork.com. And one of the interesting things, Ross, is that trust when it comes to specifically the tight end and the running back groups, because they trusted Mike Gesicki. They trusted Saquon Barkley. And I don't know whether it's because they trusted him so much or because they trusted the other options so little. Those guys never came off the field. And to me, as an outsider, you think you have to think a little bit about beyond this season if you're managing those position groups. I was surprised how few reps Miles Sanders got. I was surprised how few reps, whether it's John Holland or somebody else, how they didn't give them any repetitions in games last year.
Yeah, I think that's fair. And they had plenty of opportunities where they had sizable enough leads that they could have given those guys a little bit of a breather. It's surprising. And sometimes I wonder how much of that's Franklin, how much of that's Moorhead being like, you know, Franklin might let Moorhead handle the offensive side of the ball, and Moorhead might be thinking, yeah, I'm kind of trying to get a head coaching job, so leave those dudes in there. Let's go score more points. You know, it's like, that's one of those where Franklin has to say, hey, let's ease back on these guys a little bit. They didn't get hurt. Knock on wood for Penn State. It worked out. But I'm with you. I am surprised that, you know, they at least gave Saquon some blows. They didn't give Gesicki any.
Yeah.
No, I never saw another tight end out there.
Yeah, so
very rarely did Tom Pankos get into the game. That was about it.
And maybe that's the heart of the issue right there.
Right, exactly.
Tom Pankos. Number 11, Ross, the specialist, and this one is a hot-button issue. I'm really curious how this is handled at Blue White, because I think the last thing you want to do is shine a big old bright spotlight on your kicking woes. But it's my position, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, and maybe speak to the triple duty of a Blake Gillikin punter, kickoffs, place kicking. I think at the end of the day, they're not going to have much of a choice but to use Blake Gillikin as their kicker. That's just where I'm at right now.
I don't know that I would go that far. It doesn't sound like the walk-ons they have really shown themselves to be ready. They did give this Pinniger kid a full ride for a reason. They probably don't want to have a true freshman out there, but you know, I'm of the position that if you give a guy a full ride to be a kicker, he better be good, and he should be ready to go as a true freshman. We'll see if that ends up being the case. I don't know. I'm no kicking expert, and I really don't like talking about the position group all that much, to be honest with you.
We'll move on in just a second. But here's what I was speaking to a little bit earlier in the week, is that Jake Pinniger will get there in June. I think the recruiting process, you're trying to figure out what a kicker's got upstairs as much as anything. But how are you ever going to know enough to trust a true freshman kicker to kick in front of 90, 100,000 people with a game on the line until he's actually done it? I feel like with Blake Gillikin, you may or may not be asking him to do too much, but at least he's been there and kicked a football in front of a lot of people. Let's put it that way. So we'll see.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that at all. I guess the one thing that's interesting is that Penn State's already swung and missed once in the situation with Alex Barbier, who left the program after never doing anything for it. So I don't know. It is something to monitor closely. They like Jake Pinneker a lot, but it's one thing to kick it when you're kicking it from a tee, you know, 60 yards in a sunny day in the middle of Iowa, and another thing to do it in the middle of Beaver Stadium late in the year.
By the way, I think this came up last week, Ross. Alex Barbier, at some point in time over the last couple of months, I saw him tweet something about being on Liberty's campus. I don't know whether he's going there. I don't know whether he was visiting or what, but it's something I'm going to kind of follow along with.
No, he goes into the category we talked about earlier of once they leave Penn State, they're off Earth. In my mind, they don't exist, and that's just kind of my story. I'm sticking with it. I'm kidding. These are all great young men. It's just funny, though, because, you know, we all read Penn Live. We all follow the Penn State stuff, and, like, once they're gone, they're going. Like, what is Manny Bowen doing?
There's nothing
still
out
enrolled,
there. It's not just
on
us.
Campus, still enrolled.
Just, is he really?
Yeah.
Manny Bowen still enrolled and still on campus?
He is. Last I checked.
Wow.
There
that's
you go.
Interesting.
There's an answer for you. All right, a couple minutes here. Number 10, linebacker. None of these three that we've got at the bottom of the pile here are what I would say surprises. So same deal as tight ends. Penn State has some bodies there. I just don't know who they are, how it all sorts out. And I used this stat a little bit earlier in the week too. Top five tacklers and seven out of the top eight tacklers from Penn State's defense last year are gone. Safeties, defensive tackles, line, whatever the position. It's a lot of stops that they're trying to account for.
Yeah, and I think that they really only have one known commodity at linebacker now, and that's Koa Farmer, and they really need him to take his game to the next level. I didn't really feel like he did that last year. You know, I think off of the 2016 season, I had really high hopes for Koa. I think he was fine. I would have liked to have seen more. They need him this year to be a big-time player, and I don't know if he's capable of doing that. And then the other two positions are wide open.
Yeah,
I know Cam Brown is a name talked about a lot, but to me, both middle linebacker and the other spot are wide open, and I think they'll get competent play from the options they have at both spots, which is why it's higher than tight end. But it's still a major concern.
Yeah, I couldn't disagree with anything you just said. I think that Penn State has some options there, but when you're hearing names, and nothing against these guys, but Jan Johnson, Jay Cooper, those names are being thrown around as much as they have. It's because they've been around for a while, not necessarily because they're the best options for Penn State. So they have a lot to learn. Brent Pryce is work cut out for them, no question.
By the way, I was late to the party on this. Nick Tarburton now listed as a defensive end. I don't know if you knew that.
I did
not
know that.
Not a huge surprise,
no,
but
I
think they're still working through some of these personnel issues. But he's one linebacker who's off the table. Not that we knew a whole lot about him anyway. All right, we're going to continue this. We've gotten through 12 through 10. Ross's position rankings will continue after this break. We're going to look at numbers 9 through 7. Stick around. Hey, Penn State fans, here is your chance to take something off your bucket list. That's right, GoPSU RV is offering a full range of RV setups ready for a weekend of great tailgating at their Lions Den, which is the closest single-game RV overnight lot to Beaver Stadium. You can arrive anytime Friday afternoon. Stay until Sunday morning, avoiding all that traffic. Don't miss this unique opportunity. Go online to GoPSURV.com and reserve your RV today.
160,000 miles. That's on average how often you'll use your car insurance. But what if you could get help with more often? Maybe save a couple of bucks on clothes or at restaurants. What if you could even get rescued roadside when a tire goes flat or your battery dies? You can, when you're a member and your auto insurance is AAA. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about how AAA works at every mile.
Hey, Keystone Sports Nation, it's Scott Shirley, the Executive Director of Uplifting Athletes, inviting you to join us for the annual Gridiron Gala Saturday, June 9th in downtown Harrisburg at the Keystone Building. Features all-you-can-eat and drink, tailgate food, and special guests, including Devin Still, former Penn State All-American and NFL star, and most importantly, the father of Leah, who courageously beat her rare cancer and inspired millions. Visit upliftingathletes.org to learn more and help us tackle rare diseases. Hope to see you there.